shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
It is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, and we are here every night until 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. And welcome to our video cast to those of you who are accessing our show tonight by way of our three-day Free Phil weekend. If you're looking at our video cast by way of our three-day Free Phil weekend, welcome. Welcome to the show. You can see that I'm sitting here in our El Pacifico studio. Over here to my right is Ted the Bear. And behind me is Buddy Bear. I made some statements about Buddy off the air that I cannot repeat.
Well, you said he takes bennies.
If I wanted to say that on the air, do you think I'd say it on the air?
Yeah, man, shut up.
Well, that's what you said.
Okay, if I said it, and then I said I don't want to mention it on the air, didn't I? Didn't I?
Yeah.
In any event... So welcome to our program, and behind me you see the beautiful roiling surf of the El Pacifico, which is where our broadcast studios are located here, on the furthest western edge of this beautiful country called the United States of America. We like to sit out here on the western edge just as a sort of a sentry, just to guard the coast. Actually, we just like to take a dip every now and again. And so we're glad you're with us. Please feel free to stream all of the video, all of the audio, all of the rants, all of the podcasts, all of the this, all of the all of our webisodes, all of our television shows, all of our TV pilots, all of our TV appearances, all of our watch my TV, and as opposed to what Al Pacino said in that great movie Heat, you will not watch my television set. We don't feel that way around here at all. So anyway, 877-876-PHIL is the number. In the news, and by the way, Bud Dickman and Robert Leonard joining me here as part of our news and information hour. Robert, how are you doing?
I'm doing real good.
And by the way, I was going to have your aunt on the air this evening, but...
Well, can you call her an aunt? Sometimes you say an aunt.
I say aunt because that seems to be the prevalent pronunciation for people who are from the Southeast and the East Coast. I say aunt because that's what I grew up with.
Yeah, but I grew up with aunt because my aunt comes from South, what do you call it, South Carolina.
Yeah, I say aunt.
I say aunt, too. You're from California, right?
Yeah.
I say aunt. Aunt probably sounds pretty stupid, huh?
I think it sounds stupid. She ain't no aunt, you know.
Yeah, but you're not talking about an insect.
I know that, man. I'm just talking about the pronunciation on the way that I do it.
Your whole family's from South Carolina?
Yeah.
All right, well, so out of respect to Robert's aunt Mavis, that's what, but I was going to talk to her. Maybe we will talk to her this hour because I know she wanted to talk about Pastor Rennick. She is a teacher there, and some of the things that Pastor Rennick said, if you missed the show, if you missed that part of the show, I should say, Pastor Rennick this evening was discussing literally selling forgiveness and the money that he would collect from people who came and confessed sins to him, he would give to the illegal immigrant community. It's very controversial. Anwar al-Awlaki, the radical American-born cleric who was a leading figure in al-Qaeda's Yemen affiliate and was considered its most dangerous English-speaking propagandist, was killed in an American drone strike that deliberately targeted his vehicle on Friday, according to officials. They said the strike also killed a radical American colleague traveling with him who edited al-Qaeda's online jihadist magazine. Many details of the strike were unclear, but one American official said that Mr. Awlaki, you know, and I'm sorry I'm mispronouncing that. Take these sunglasses off. Mr. Awlaki, whom the United States had been hunting in Yemen for more than 2 years, had been identified as the target in advance and was killed with a Hellfire missile fired from a drone operated by the Central Intelligence Agency. The official said it was the first CIA strike in Yemen since 2002. The strike appeared to be the first in the United States-led war on terrorism since the September 11th, 2001 attacks. The strike appeared to be the first time in the United States... Oh, yeah. That an American citizen had been deliberately targeted and killed by American forces. It was also the second high-profile killing of an al-Qaeda leader in the past 5 months under the Obama administration, which ordered the American commando raid that killed Osama bin Laden in Pakistan last May. President Obama signed the target order on this last year. So last year, not this year, not 2 weeks ago, last year, President Obama said, this guy dies. No ifs, ands, or buts. And that's where that's at. Just saying that because there seems to be some confusion still, and it's very cheap talk. It's extremely cheap talk when people, well, you know, I don't know about Obama, and if he's, is he a Muslim? You have these imbeciles. Yeah, that's right. He's a Muslim, and he and his allegiance is to the Grand Mufti of wherever, the Grand Mufti of Mecca.
That probably, is that dirty?
Is what dirty?
Mufti.
Yeah, it does sound like it might be.
No, Mufti ain't dirty. That's what they call those guys, Mufti. What do you mean, is it dirty?
It sounds like it could be dirty.
It ain't dirty. If you call David Hall...
Well, I got him. You know I'm supposed to.
Boy, you are some kind of an idiot, man. You got to waste the time of this radio show with that kind of jazz. I'm telling you, bud. More and more... Here we go. Look at this.
Yeah, who is this?
It's Phil. Can we talk off the air?
Yeah, I don't mind if you want to talk off the air. That's fine, because one of the...
Put that... Give me... David? Yeah. Hold on for a minute, will you? Hold. The what? David, I'm in the middle... I know. What is the word? Hone? Yeah, I said hone your craft. That was two shows ago. What? Hone? H-O-N-E. No, it is not dirty. No, it is not... What? Cone is what you're thinking of. And even that's not dirt. What? Hone your craft means to develop, to refine, to make it better. I never said gob. I never said gob. I said I never said gob. You know, you're wasting my time with this is the most asinine conversation. Well, okay, fine, you too. Yeah, and your mama.
What do you?
Let me tell you something, man, okay? Next time I use a word that you aren't sure of, you can ask me during the break, and then we together can call Mr. Hall. He's talking to me about hone. What's that?
Oh, that's another word I want to tell him about. It sounded like maybe it had to do with some sex or something.
Yeah, I don't know about that word either.
You know, you two guys are the stupidest human beings I think I've ever encountered.
Well...
No, really. Seriously. I think you're the stupidest guys I've ever talked to in my life. And you want to know something? The beauty of it is, and it's the beautiful thing, I hired you. In other words... The guy down the street didn't hire you. Some other radio show didn't hire you. I hired you. Two of the dumbest guys I've ever met.
Why said we're dumb?
What is it with you jackasses? Do you own a dictionary, man? Go look up a word like hone. And before you call David and say, I think Phil just violated FCC standards, find out what it means.
I thought you said cone.
So what if maybe I did say cone? That ain't dirty either. Only in your mind.
What did Mr. Hall say?
Oh, he's giving me this whole song and a dance about what is hone? Hone, what does that mean? And you know, did you say this? And it's this, I'm telling you, you two clowns, if I don't fire you, I got to have rocks in my head. I'm not kidding.
You didn't fire me. I just did what I was supposed to do.
But there's certain words that you're not allowed to say on the radio. Stick to those and don't start using your imagination. Now, Secretary of Energy Chu takes responsibility for Solyndra. Well, you knew that somebody had to take responsibility for this Solyndra deal. You knew that someone had to go down for the count. Someone had to get tied to the pyre. And it's Stephen Chu. Hey. He acknowledged on Thursday, and of course he's not the guy that's going to take sole responsibility for this. The taxpayers of the United States are going to hold the Obama administration as well. They should. And before you start thinking, oh, I must be listening to a conservative radio show because I just heard Phil saying that Obama needs to take consideration and take responsibility for Solyndra, cut me a break, will you? I voted for the guy. But things are not going according to plan. Let's just face it, okay? Now, I remember saying at the very early part of Obama's presidency that, he doesn't have anybody in Congress that really... can help him, not the way he needs the help. And the way he needed the help was to articulate this to the American people in a way that was palatable. Stuff that comes out of Nancy Pelosi's face, stuff that pours out of Harry Reid's face, maybe they're great people, maybe, you know, it's too late, man. Nobody listens to them and hears anything other than just swill. So you got to find somebody else. He didn't do that. Okay, fine. So now the line of communication has been strangled. Next stop, we got Solyndra. We want to start putting money into green industries. This has been the big thing. Every time I turn around, green this and green that. There's a green channel. And what are you doing to be green? I even see commercials on TV that have nothing to do with green industries, but it's all about green. There's a bank commercial. Did you see this one?
Yeah, I saw that, man. I thought it was like a bank about putting money in the green or something.
No, it's got nothing to do with anything. I saw this bank commercial one day. Come on in and be a depositor. And everything's green, and I thought maybe all the money's going to green stuff, and no, it wasn't. It was just this bank wanted to be green. Everybody jumping on the green bandwagon. You know, trying to force certain technologies down the throats of consumers because, oh my God, there's global warming, and if you don't do it, I mean, so the only other thing you can do is this. And I'm speaking as reasonably as I can, but if you're saying, and you have to, you got to hear this, you cannot close your mind, you must hear this. If you're saying that it is absolutely imperative that we begin to invest and we begin to develop and we begin to push green industry because we are losing losing the, you know, the ozone, and there's warming of the planet, and this is critical, and let's even take it to the Leonardo DiCaprio extreme, hurricanes, tornadoes, the whole thing is just, it's going to hell in a handcart, right? If that's what you're saying, you have to understand that in this society, there's only so much you can do with a consumer's decision-making. If I don't believe you, or I don't think it's that important, or I don't think it's that imperative, even with a Democratic president who is pro-green, who is very much on the side of people who want to hasten this because of global warming, and even he can't get it done, and you've got Americans that are saying, screw it, I ain't going to do it. And one of the reasons for this is because nobody has articulated to us, how's this going to work with the Chinese and the Indians? And what do you mean we have to carry more of the load than the third world people because their carbon footprint isn't as big as ours and they don't have the money and we do and they can't afford it and we can. So that means that they get to continue to develop these polluting industries, but we don't. What are you talking about, man? You guys don't explain anything. You just push everybody along. Push, 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 push. Well, here's the backlash now. Nobody bought into your freaking Solyndra. Now, who are you going to blame for that? You want to blame Bush for that? Or do you want to blame... Who do you want to blame? McCain? People ain't buying it. Not only that, these guys are as... It turns out are as crooked as the day is long. There's only one thing you can do, only one thing you can do, and that is pass laws and implement and enforce against the will of the consumer these things that you want done. You want to pass laws where I have no choice but to buy this crap. I have no choice but to buy the light bulbs you want me to buy, and I have no choice but to drive my car the way you want me to drive my car. That's the only thing you can do. Otherwise, the planet is dead. We're shot. We're done. It's over. We are dead. That's what you're saying. That's what you're saying. I'm going to make a prediction, and then we'll go to a break. In 10 years, 10, so let's say 2021, articles will begin to appear in newspapers, and it may happen sooner, about the big global warming scare and about the big global warming con. I'm not saying the planet isn't warming. I'm not saying that. I'm not even saying that it isn't caused by mankind. I'm not saying that either. I don't go, you know, that's not my game, man. I don't do that big panicky crap that all of these jackasses do. I like to look at things in very specific terms. I'm saying that even if there is global warming caused by mankind, the way that it has been sold and pushed and the way that it has been shoved and almost in this totalitarian autocratic manner down the throats of the consumer, we're going to start to see investigative journalists uncovering the real stink of that. And I'm telling you, it'll happen in about, I'm going to give it 10 years at the outside, maybe sooner. All right, we're going to come back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. I think I have your aunt on the phone here, right?
Yes, she's on line 3.
All right, thanks, bud. We'll be right back here, world-famous, line 3. Phil Hendry Show.
You're yelling, man.
Radio for patriots by patriots. It's the Phil Hendry Show. Listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
877-876-PHIL, and on the line with me is Mavis Leonard from Joyful Union. She was a retired middle school teacher. I think Robert is back home there as well. And we're going to get Bill Glidden on the line. He's the assistant pastor at Joyful Union Congregation. It's very, very late, but we appreciate you being with us. Bill, how are you?
Well, Bill, how are you doing? I'm very good. I'm thankful for you having me on your program. And I hope we can straighten this out.
Okay. And Mavis?
I'm trying to cannot hear you all that well.
Okay. What do we need to do?
Well, turn up your phone.
Can you hear me, dear?
Yeah, I hear you a little bit better right now.
Tell me what happened.
Well, Bill, I can tell you what happened.
No. I want Mavis.
Yeah, I went and visited Pastor Rennick. I wanted to donate money to the Mexicans, you know. I wanted to give them money because I know that they're having a hard time. And I don't think we should punish people just because they're not legal in America, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I came over to give him money. And he said, you want to have a prayer meeting? I said, I don't have a prayer meeting. I don't believe he's going to sell prayers. He said, $50, I can forgive anyone of his sins. I said, I don't believe you forgive no sins. I go to your church, you know, and I hear your sermon, you're not going to forgive me. And I said to him, I come over here, I'm going to give him $20 to give to the people of that illegal immigrant fund.
Mm-hmm.
And I gave him a 50, you know.
Bill, here I can think I can probably help out, you know.
I would like it if your assistant, Pastor Glidden, if you wouldn't mind, please, sir. And I give him a 50.
Right.
And he tells me he's fresh out of, he doesn't have no change. So I said to him that I'm going to come over to the church tomorrow. And I'll take it out of him one way or another. And I told him.
Bill,
go ahead. This is Pastor, Assistant Pastor Bill Glidden, right?
Yes, it is, Bill. And first of all, I want to say I do appreciate Ms. Leonard for letting me speak to her. Now, I talked to Pastor Rennie. He said he did not have any change at that time for your $50 bill. And that he said he was going to go to the parsonage, which is where he and live, and he was going to get some change, otherwise write you a check.
I'm not taking no check just as a rule of thumb. I don't give no check.
Well, I understand you did not want a check. So he said, well, then he is going to go have dinner, and if you wanted to come back, he would see what he could do about getting you change. We did not have any change in the parsonage at that time.
Did you take the 50?
They did take the 50 because Pastor Rennick stated that was the tithing.
That was not the tithing. I didn't have no tithing. I did not confess no sin. He was talking about something that I had talked with him about when I was a young woman. I didn't want any. That was not a sin I'm confessing to him. He just getting his kicks, you know.
Well, I think that's a terrible thing to say. And,
well, you know something? I think he's getting his kicks and getting it jolly, and he's trying to get his cookie.
You know, I think that's a terrible thing to say, and Pastor Rennick did not say anything of the sort. And,
well, you know something, Phil? All I'm trying to tell you, what I said is I want that money. I'm going to take it out of him one way or another. That I'd come back to the parsonage on Saturday, which is tomorrow, and I would kick him right square between his legs.
Yes, she did say that because Pastor Rennick told me that.
You threatened physical violence.
I said, I'll tell you what, I'll take it out of your you-know-what. You don't have that change of that 50 I gave you.
Well, now, Pastor Rennick said,
who are you walking around in that stupid blue suit you have? I'll tell you now, you better tone down that suit.
Excuse me, ma'am, but that suit, what do you mean tone down my suit?
Phil, this man, he wears a, it's not royal blue, it's a light blue. It's and it's like a lapis lazuli blue. It's a really high blue. And I told him, I said, you better tone that down because, you know, you put the hurt on my vision. And not only that, but you look like a clown and you look like a fool.
That is a terrible thing to say about that suit. You see what you're doing now. You're making this man laughing at us. He's not laughing at us. He's laughing at you.
I don't know what to say. Do you want your money back, Mavis?
You know what? They can keep my money if they burn that suit this minute. You want them to burn my suit. That's a beautiful blue suit. How come all you fools wear blue?
All right, okay. Thank you very much. I don't know. We'll be back. World famous Phil. What do you want me to say?
Well, I don't know. That's why I came back here.
Good.
Phil Hendry.
Burn the soup.
Famous Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back to the world famous Phil Hendry Show. We were just fooling around, listening to Mavis and to Pastor Glidden there. So we looked up church suit and or something along those lines, and we found, what is that music, bud?
They're playing music where they sell a church suit at.
Well, there is music playing on that website, and we found some wild looking numbers. I had no idea. I'm not trying to be disrespectful at all. I didn't know that there was a whole line of fashion called church suits for men as well as for women. And that is not to be, seriously, it's not to be disrespectful. But I think that church is like everything else. It's a place, you know, it's a social event as well as a place of worship. So I guess you're going to, you know.
Yeah, I mean, you're going to, I know my aunt, you know, she got like all kind of different suit and.
What's she wear? Does she wear, like, some kind of weird turban?
What do you mean a turban, man? She don't wear no turban.
Why would she wear a turban, dude? It's, you know, it's Christian.
Oh, they ain't Muslim or nothing like that.
No, man. Are you an idiot, man? Why you say Muslim? She come from South Carolina.
I don't know.
Hey, but what is it with you, man? Nowadays, everybody that's black is Muslim. Is that it? You can't be that dumb. You can't be that dumb. 877-876-PHIL. So anyway, we were checking those out. It's pretty heavy. Magic mushroom ingredient may cause long-term improvement in personality. That's the wrong headline to read there, man.
Why?
Why? Because all the wrong people are going to want to start drinking mushroom tea and going out and finding themselves some shrooms and tripping on mushrooms so they can improve their personalities. Oh, that's great. In new research, and what I mean by that is, it not only is it not going to improve their personalities, it's going to further degrade and deteriorate their ability to function in this world without a drool bucket, if you want me to be perfectly honest.
Well, I mean, that's a pretty cold shot, man. You know,
what do you mean it's a cold shot?
Well, I mean, if it's saying that you can, like, have improvement on your personality taking psilocybin mushroom, would you not give it a shot?
Well, it depends on what you mean by improvement in your personality. What the hell is that supposed to mean?
Like, if, you know, if you're just more, you know, you're more fun-loving.
Are you trying to tell me, man, that I'm going to go out and eat a bunch of mushrooms so I can become more fun-loving?
Yeah, well, I like more popular.
More popular, huh? So a guy is, let's say a guy's really introverted, right?
Yeah, but like that. Like, they don't make friends and everything.
Oh, okay. So I'll take this really introverted guy, sit him down and pour some mushroom tea into him. He starts to trip his ass off, you know, to the point where maybe he's out in the middle of a field wearing a cardboard hat. And then the next day...
Now, you shouldn't make a joke out of it, man.
And the next day, this guy is Mr. He's Mr. Party Animal, huh? He's Mr. Friendly. Give me a break, will ya?
They're doing a lot. You're the one that said that they're doing a lot with drugs and stuff.
Yeah, they're doing a lot. Look. Pharmacology is coming a long way. There's no question about that. It's come a long way. The ability to treat people for a variety of terrible, terrible ailments with pharmacology, which that is drugs, medicinal drugs. But, you know, we one of the reasons why we got into and got interested in and began to experiment with hallucinogenics, began smoking weed, you know, the human race is looking to balance its brain a little bit. The human race is looking to optimize its brain. We have this thing called a brain. It is not perfect. We like to think that it is. We like to think that the brain is in and of itself perfect, but somehow we're bad. What happens is we all have brains, and they're all human brains, and they all have certain ways of being, human ways of being. But chemically, biochemically, not all brains are working the same way. I didn't say that they're not all equal, and I didn't say that they're not all working correctly. I'm saying they're working differently. Now we have this society, and we have this way that we're supposed to be in society. There's a certain way that we go about our business. There's a certain way that we go about traversing this terrain of society, a way that we interact with people. And some brains out there have a hard time with it. Not because they're bad people, because every brain is different. I'm talking to this kid on Twitter. Who's that kid on Twitter?
I don't know. You mean that kid he says that he smells?
He doesn't say he smells. He says that he's... He gives people creepy vibes, and he doesn't know why, really. He's a nice guy, he's a friendly guy, but he creeps people out, you know?
Yeah, well, I mean, maybe do it on purpose.
I don't think that's the case. I think this kid has some kind of a bipolar thing, because one day I went on Twitter, and I saw this kid had posted, like, I mean, it was real manic. It was a total mania thing. This kid had posted, like, I don't know, 30 or 40 tweets in a row, and they were all about... Hindu religion and the Bhagavad Gita, and he was chanting Hare Krishna, and then he started rapping about some other Buddhist stuff, and it would have been cool if it weren't so bloody frenetic. I mean, it was like boom, 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 boom. So finally, I said to this guy, I tweeted him, I said, man, you're like going off on, you're kind of manic. And he goes, yeah, you know, that happens to me sometimes. So that kind of tipped me off that this kid is got a brain chemistry that's not right, you know?
Yeah, but you said you can't judge nobody and everything.
No, I'm not judging him. I'm not saying he belongs in a nut house. He's a nice guy, doesn't hurt anybody. And but he's different. And he obviously wants to improve his ability to relate to people. And I say that has to do with the brain chemistry. There's something going on with his head. So I said, you know, man, you probably need some medicine. And that's when he said, well, not really. He wasn't down with that. He wanted to, I think he goes through like smoking weed and maybe doing mushrooms or something, you know, some sort of, you know, light, you know, hallucinogenic light, you know.
You think mushrooms are light?
Well, mushrooms are, that's not acid, you know, but in any event, he's a nice guy. And I said, well, a guy like that with modern pharmacology, we can really treat a kid like that and make him balance him out, man, so that he relates to people. He doesn't have a hard time relating to people. Maybe holds down a job. I mean, cats, some people can't be around other people. They're scared to death of them. They have no idea how to interact with them. They have no idea how to even shake hands with somebody, how to talk to people. I remember when I was interviewing for the webmaster job years and years and years ago, and this has got nothing to do with Greg or Alex. I was interviewing to have somebody begin the webmaster job on our website.
Yeah.
So I interviewed these people, and I noticed that there were a variety of different personalities. One of the guys that I interviewed was just so bloody introverted. He didn't even look at me. He sort of moved around and fidgeted in his chair. And when he came up with the things that he wanted to do and the ideas that he had, he spewed them out, and they were very impressive, but it was all a really kind of rap thing like this is the thing, and the other thing you can do is probably, and I don't know, what I would do is I'd have a different menu bar, and I'd have a thing like that, and never really make an eye contact. And I mean, if ever there was a guy who was the epitome of that sort of stereotype, you know?
Yeah, the guy's like, just like a computer geek living down in the dungeon.
Well, in the dungeon.
You mean like in his mom's basement?
Well, yeah, but he's like more in... Not even his mom's basement. It's probably down in a sewer system.
Yeah, that's right, bud. The guy lived in a sewer system. In any event, what is he, like Phantom of the Opera or something?
Guys like that live in a sewer system. You don't know.
You don't know, man.
Well.
Okay, enough. We don't need to know if they live in a sewer system or not. Anyway, no doubt the cat was, you know, had a hard time with life. So that's where all of that came from, man. That's where all of that drug experimentation came from. Everybody thinks, well, it was the corruption of morality. No. It might have been morally shocking, and it might have taken us off of our moral path, but it was not for a lack of morals. We are looking continuously in this world of ours to balance that brain chemistry so we can input this world as clearly as we can. We've been doing it since the beginning of time. We've been smoking marijuana for thousands and thousands and thousands of years. They just found weed with some mummies in China that's 3,500 years old. We've been experimenting, God knows, with alcohol. We've been experimenting with all kinds of hallucinogenics. You name it, peyote. So now comes this idea in new research that will almost certainly create controversy. Scientists working with the hallucinogen psilocybin, the active ingredient found in magic mushrooms, have found that a single dose of the drug prompted an enduring but positive personality change in almost 60% of patients.
But what do they do?
Specifically, tests involving a small group of patients in a strictly controlled and monitored clinical setting revealed that, more often than not, one round of psilocybin exposure successfully boosted an individual's sense of openness. What's more, the apparent shift in what is deemed to be a key aspect of personality did not dissipate after exposure lasting at least a year, and sometimes longer. Now, this finding is really quite fascinating, said study author Ronald R. Griffiths, a professor of the Department of Psychiatry and Neuroscience at Johns Hopkins University School of Medicine in Baltimore, or as they say, Baltimore.
Who does?
People in Baltimore. Anyway, and...
I don't get it.
Hey, bud. Anyway, and that is because personality is considered a stable characteristic in the psychology of people. It's been thought to be relatively immutable and stable across the lifespan. Well, guess what? Remarkably, this study shows that psilocybin actually changes one domain of personality that is strongly related to traits such as imagination, feeling, abstract ideas, and aesthetics, and is considered a core construct underlying creativity in general. And the changes we see appear to be long-term. So you become more open, you are enhanced in creativity, you are open in your feelings and in your imagination and your appreciation for aesthetics. And what that is aesthetics are... it's a look at the artistry of the world, okay? Now, that doesn't mean you run out and do a whole bloody bunch of mushrooms. Keep in mind what the doctor here said. He said a small dose, okay, a very small dose, and they were testing this with a small group of people, but a one round of psilocybin exposure. Now, I bet you if you do like 5, 6, 7 rounds, then you turn into a basket case.
Yeah, you were talking about them two guys you knew. Remember that?
Yeah, tell that story.
How much time we got? I don't want to give out any names, but I knew a couple of kids I grew up with in Arcadia that were definite casualties of hallucinogenics. I mean, these guys took a lot. But this isn't mushrooms. It was acid that they dropped. And they both became very famous for just kind of standing and staring. I mean, these cats were, you know, they were gone, man. And they dropped a lot of acid. And they were both like, by the time they were 17, they were fried. I mean, completely cooked. All circuitry burned, you know.
So you're saying do that with psilocybin?
Well, I'm just telling you, I think anybody that does a lot of hallucinogenics, yeah, you're in big, big, deep, dark trouble.
Yeah, but what about that one guy, Timothy Leary, man? He dropped acid.
Yeah, what about him? He took LSD all the time.
I don't know about Timothy Leary. I have no idea. I don't know what he took, and I don't know why. I don't know. I do know I met him later in life. And he was very clear thinking and a nice man, but I don't know, man. You know, I like met him for like 5 minutes. We'll be right back here on the world famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876 Phil. We're into the very first hour, by the way, of our 3-day free Phil weekend that will last until 1 a.m. Pacific Daylight Time on Tuesday morning. Our 3-day free Phil weekend. You go to our website and you can enjoy everything on the website, stream everything on the website and see exactly, including the show right now, see how it's done. Our number 877-876-Phil. We'll be right back here on the world famous Phil Henry Show.
Radio for Patriots by Patriots. It's the Phil Henry Show. Famous Phil Henry Show.
All right, world famous Phil Henry Show. Just a couple of things. There's really, I mean, the news is whatever the news is, you know. There's all kinds of things going on. Right now what we have is, as I mentioned, we have the most important thing to me right now is our 3-day free Phil weekend. The rest of the world can burn for all I care, you know.
What's that supposed to mean?
That's exactly what it means. I don't give a damn. I mean, I do, but I don't, you know. I care. Look at who cares about the minutiae of the news? There are things that are important, yes. We have a presidential election, okay. Should we pay attention to our government? Yes, of course we should. But I maintain something that's happened in this country. There are certain people that pay such close attention to the government, not because they want to monitor it properly or correctly, but because they're obsessed with something being wrong. Well, I mean, look at the world. Don't you think there's something wrong? On any given day, at any given month, in any given year, in any given decade, there's something wrong, man. But look at the economy, Mr. Henry. You can't say, of course, the economy. I just had a conversation with somebody, a very funny group called the Black Lips. These guys are a riot. They're out of Atlanta, and they're very funny. For all I know, they're rabid racists. I'm kidding. I'm joking around.
They're pretty funny.
Why do you call them Black Lips?
I don't know, because they're just joking. Anyway, the guy was under the misconception. They're younger guys, you know, and he says to me, he had tweeted the gay 90s. He said, today, the gay 90s mean that in the 1990s, we were beginning to open up the doors of civil liberty to gay people. He said, in the 1890s, it just meant that gay people, everybody was happy and having a good time. I said, well, interestingly enough, the gay 90s of the 1890s were a period of depression. There was economic depression and recession. The panic of 1893, which began all of it, lasted until 1900. It was a horrible, horrible decade. The economic times that people had to live in, there was no unemployment. You've heard these stories a million times, but it bears repeating. There was no unemployment insurance. There was no Social Security. There was no government works. This was a period of time in American history where a president, where the government in Washington did not want to exercise or what they called paternalism. This was a word that they used, the paternalism. Today, that's not even socialism. Today, we call it Social Security and Medicaid. That's what we call it. Back then, it was called paternalism, and they didn't want to have anything to do with it. They wanted nothing to do with it. And so the 1890s were a brutal time. And we're talking about, ladies and gentlemen, understand something, just so you know how bad. And America was America then, a country that was on the rise, a country whose God knows, our manufacturing capacity, even then, probably had it been put to the test in the 1890s, would have just blown the minds of everybody and anybody that came in touch with it. I mean, the World War I gave people a taste. World War I gave the world a taste of what this country was about. World War II, basically, we climbed the mountain. But even in the 1890s, had we really lassoed our energies, we would have. It would have been amazing. But we didn't, because we didn't believe in paternalism. We did not believe in interference with, even the Democrats didn't believe in the interference with government. As far as the Democrats were concerned, Grover Cleveland, they just wanted to be on the gold standard, not the silver standard. The silver standard was something the Republicans wanted. So, in the history of this world, any given time you want to talk about, we're always going through something. And there's always going to be somebody bitching about it, too. I refuse to live like that. And I refuse to do the kind of talk radio that some people do, which is every day they're bitching about something. Every freaking day they're crying and moaning and complaining about something. I don't give a damn if the guy who's in office is a cat that they like. They're going to cry and complain and moan about the other guys. But there's always something wrong, and that's what they're selling, you know? I ain't going to do it. So look, White House condemns Iran over Christian pastor facing execution. Well, there's one reason to get all bugged about something, right? New York State panel wants Medicaid to cover sex reassignment surgery. Well, there's something else to get all pissed off about. Maryland joins other states. New law prohibits credit history from being used in hiring. Well, there's something. And every one of these stories is probably the end-all, be-all to somebody. Every one of these stories somebody could probably get really crazy about. Chris Christie seriously considering a 2012 presidential campaign. Well, more fat jokes. But there are times when you can simply say, no, I got other things I want to do, man. I got, you know, like, we got our website we're pitching here, so we're going to do that. But, you know, just to kind of wrap up the whole thing. So today, over 100 years later, people think of the gay 90s as some time when it was like a movie. Like a movie with, I don't know who, you know, one of those old Hollywood actors with the hat and the Surrey with the fringe on top and all that jazz. And, you know, mommy's walking down the street in her Easter bonnet. That's what they thought the 1890s were about. You know why they call it the gay 90s? Because it was good for rich people. And if you see those movies, who are you looking at? You're looking at wealthy people having a good time. I got nothing against wealth. I got nothing against being gay. But I do have something against being in my 90s.
All right. Good to you, Miss Henry.
World-famous Phil Henry Show is produced by Phil Henry, Don Naylor, Chris Johnson, and Fred Scotty. And remember, for the next 3 days, it's the three-day free Phil weekend. Enjoy it, folks. See you tonight on the KFI videocast on the Phil Henry Show, world famous.
Phil Henry.